This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.
Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast, and welcome to our continued coverage of CU Intersect here in Houston, Texas. And in the studio lounge, we have Mr. Chris Roney from Kasosis. Did I get it right?
Yeah, that's right.
Right on. All right, got something right today.
Yeah.
How are you? How's the show going for you, Chris?
It's been good. It's been really good.
Yeah? Any highlights you'd like to share from the show so far?
I'd say the conversations I've had with people. You know, the credit union industry is very tight-knit, is something I've realized.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost like a corporate fraternity to some degree. And I'm starting to see that now. And there's a lot of teamwork, I think, that goes on, it more so than maybe some other industries.
Collaboration is the word we use.
There you
yes.
go. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting to me. I'm not used to that.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that part.
It's a different place. And yeah, you're exactly right. Because I've been in other industries as well that like nobody wants to say a word. Nobody shares. Nobody collaborates.
Yeah.
But you come to this industry and everyone's talking and everyone's sharing
right.
what works and what doesn't work. So yeah, it's a good place.
Why is that?
I don't know.
I'd like to
but
know.
They
the
just
answer.
Like each other.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's kind of the foundation of Creighton is it's a cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cooperative environment. It's a nonprofit environment.
Yeah.
So we're all kind of like support each other in some form or fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's just kind of that philosophy has just kind of permeated throughout the industry. And
and
here we all are, just talk and share. So it's a good thing.
Good thing.
And it helps out like companies like yours as well, because a credit union would go, hey, you know what? We use Kasosis. You should check them out as well.
Sure.
In other industries, that might not happen because of the competition. So
they might not
share the good things about Kasosis.
Yeah, I think that happens too. And I think generally, you know, there's a lot of, I've been DLP for a while. This is something I know very well. I'm not an expert on credit unions, but our company serves a lot of credit unions.
Oh, good.
It's something that we're very good at,
yeah.
and there's some reasons for that. But I'm not an expert on credit unions, and I'm learning more about it since I've been here. But it does seem that those things are absolutely very different. I think people are really willing to like share things. Other industries, people are much more tight-lipped.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
there's a lot of anxiety about maybe screwing something up. There's
mm-hmm.
a lot of compliance.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of legal. People are almost afraid to say too much or
mm-hmm.
share too much. And,
yeah.
And this, you don't really see that as much here.
Not. It's pretty rare.
Yeah.
Pretty rare that somebody keeps something under the vest. So tell me a little bit about Kasosis. How do you guys?
Yeah.
What do you guys do? And how do you help credit unions out there?
Yeah. So we are an endpoint-based DLP. If you have heard of DLP before, you might know that it's an acronym. It stands for Data Loss Prevention.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that acronym very much. I think it's very confusing, but it's confusing by design.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of intentional, because DLP is really a euphemism. It's a euphemism to say something in a nice way, which isn't so nice. So it's data loss prevention, is what
right.
we call it, but really it's software that protects companies from their own employees.
Ah,
nobody likes to call it that.
Yeah,
because it doesn't sound, you know.
But that's kind of a have to though, right? You kind of have to protect yourself from your own employees, right?
Totally, yeah. And now that could be an employee doing something accidentally.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it could be intentionally,
right.
and that happens. As much as we want to
mm-hmm.
think, my employee wouldn't do that, it does happen. We see it all the time,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Or it could be, you know, a hacker posing as an employee
mm-hmm.
and gaining credentialed access, and the system can't differentiate the two. So basically, people that have credentialed access to things already, maybe PII data, PCI data, you know, credit card information, whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
bank account information. Obviously, banks and credit unions deal with a lot of sensitive data.
Mm-hmm.
We can build policies around that, and then those policies essentially will block that data from leaving that computer unless there's an approved channel or an approved reason
okay.
or an approved use case.
Okay. Ah, I see. Light bulb goes on.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun stuff.
Yeah. Can you share an example of like somebody working at their computer and I don't know, maybe something malicious
sure.
came across and then it's I'm assuming
not
that
malicious.
Stops it or
not malicious though. So we don't deal with
you don't
malware.
Deal with the fosters or anything like that. Okay.
Not well unless it's an employee doing something, right? So
okay,
we don't deal with the outside world. We don't deal with hackers or malware or viruses or any of that stuff.
Everything so in-house, okay.
Basically, think of us as a bubble around your computer. Mm-hmm. Whereas other every other security tool that's out there also makes a bubble, but that bubble keeps all the bad stuff out, right?
Okay.
We do the opposite. We keep all the good stuff in.
Okay.
So we're the opposite bubble.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so okay. We don't deal with malicious. I mean, unless you would consider maybe a disgruntled employee a malicious actor,
that would be
right?
Malicious, yes. That'd be a bad actor.
Yeah, yeah. In that case, then yes, that would be correct. I guess malicious can mean a lot of different things.
I was going with your other terminology, somebody coming in, and then how do you get that out or something like that.
No,
so yeah.
We don't stop anything from coming out of the computers, really.
Okay.
So we don't stop you from visiting naughty websites. We don't stop you from downloading things. We don't do that. Other tools do that, right?
There's
a lot of tools that do that.
Right.
But once that sensitive data is on a computer or whatever it is, whatever
it's not getting out.
It's not getting out.
Okay. I like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yesterday when we were talking a little bit about what we wanted to talk about here, you talked to me about the trouble or the problems with Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit about that? Because obviously Bluetooth is everywhere. We use it all the time. You're using it right now.
Yeah.
But share with me about what you found and how it could affect an organization actually as well, like a credit union.
Yeah, it's some. You asked me for kind of some interesting things. That was one of the first things that kind of popped into my head. The reality is that Bluetooth is one of hundreds of exit points, right? So when we talk about we're full service DLP, we control all of the exit points. So that could be Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, USB drives. It could be file upload.
Okay.
It could be a GitHub, channel.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a Teams or a Slack.
Yeah.
So every conceivable way you can move data off the computer, we can control that and stop
it,
right? The Bluetooth thing is interesting because I've had a lot of conversations with people, the last couple of days, and Bluetooth is what we see in the industry is Bluetooth is kind of becoming the new USB drive.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows, every security person knows that USB drives are a big source of vulnerabilities.
Yep.
They usually just block them,
yep.
Or they create a lot of restrictive rules. They're very aware of this creating problems. Either A, someone moves data off of a computer to a USB
mm-hmm.
drive, right,
mm-hmm.
and then it goes missing. Or maybe there's malware or some sort of malicious thing, right, on a USB drive. Someone plugs it in, unbeknownst to themselves. It uploads malware onto the computer, and now you backdoor all the front-end security. That can happen too. So people are aware that these are things that can happen. But at the same time, everyone, for the most part, not everyone, but a lot of our customers don't have this problem now. But a lot of credit unions or banks or just any really industry in general,
mm-hmm.
very few of them are blocking Bluetooth because people use their mouses and their keyboards, right? Why would you block that?
Right.
But the problem now is that opens it up to mount any other type of device,
mm-hmm.
right? You can have a device mm-hmm. that pretends to be a keyboard and really it does something else.
Oh, gosh.
You can transfer files off. So Bluetooth is everywhere now, right?
Yeah.
And you can connect, even remotely.
I use it daily, yeah, every day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So very few companies really have a whole lot of control over that. And that's something that we're seeing now where being able to have granular, you still need to be able to use your Bluetooth device,
sure.
but you have to have a tool that can go in there and approve and basically allow you to use the trusted devices
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
you know to be okay, and
yeah.
that's fine, but blocking all the things that are unknown or
right.
untrusted. You need to have that control.
So you can set it up in advance, obviously, to,
yeah.
okay, this is trustworthy, this,
totally.
This not so much, so
exactly, yeah,
yeah, okay.
Having
so then everything's good to go.
Controls is, yeah, it's just something people are starting to realize now, and it's an important thing that kind of got overlooked, but that's what security is. It's a game of cat and mouse.
Yeah,
no doubt.
And I think people are, and you may know more about this than I will, but I think people are now, at least I'm hoping, maybe it's my optimistic viewpoint, but they're, I get aware of the things that could, maybe not. Maybe they're not so much aware. Because yesterday, case in point, you told me about the problem with Bluetooth, and I had no idea. So maybe I'll retract that statement that people are more aware. Maybe they are in some form or fashion, but they had no idea about Bluetooth. So I'll probably edit that whole thing out of that conversation because that one went nowhere. So,
but, Bluetooth, I think that came up because we're trying to think of an example.
Yeah.
But there are 100 examples just like that.
Oh,
right?
I'm sure.
We could have a whole conversation about some other exit point or some other thing that cares, and the nuance of this is important,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of security tools out there. What I've noticed, a lot of credit unions compared to banks, it's much different. It's very rare that I find a bank that doesn't have a DLP. Even if they don't use our DLP, they have some DLP, right, and they may not be happy about it, and we go and we replace a DLP. But there's a lot of credit unions that don't have it at all. They may have different security tools.
Yeah.
Some do have it.
Yeah.
In fact, many do. A lot of them are our customers. But compared to maybe your traditional finance institutions mm-hmm. or banks, it's a lot different. You know, they may the credit unions may have little flavors of DLP, as mm-hmm. I call it. They have a couple tools to do certain things, and they get a little flavors of it, but they don't have a very robust sort of full service DLP. It's growing, it's changing.
Right.
But that part is different. I don't know exactly why that is. I have some ideas that people have kind of been bouncing around the last couple of days.
Are they just getting wind of it now or something? I mean, I'm assuming it's been around for a while.
I think traditional banks are more heavily regulated. This is sort of, like I said, I'm not an expert.
Okay.
Like some other people are here, so I'm trying to ask all these experts here.
Sure.
And this is one of the pieces of feedback that I got, is banks are regulated in a different way versus...
the credit union, the average credit union out there?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot, maybe there's just more pressure on them from a variety of different angles to have that, kind of thing done.
That's an interesting comparison. Yeah. I'll have to keep an eye out for that for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Anything else to add? Any conference stuff, any highlight stuff or anything like that? Or what do you want to take away from the conference besides new business and networking and things like that? Anything else you want to take away from the conference?
What I've realized from talking to people here is that, I guess my space is DLP, so this is kind of the world that I live in.
Sure.
But, DLP is a lot different than other security tools. Many other security tools, you can kind of buy it mm-hmm. and turn it on, and it's working.
Right.
It's very much you purchase it and now you have it.
Right.
And DLP, I think, I'm trying to get an understanding of how much staffing a lot of these credit unions have. I feel a lot of them need more people on the security side. They're just understaffed compared to some banks, right?
Agreed.
And the big thing with DLP is trying to figure out a balance of being able to build it while not having a whole lot of extra man hours, right?
Yeah.
And the thing with DLP is I always tell people, when you buy a firewall, you turn it on and you have a firewall, it's working, But with DLP, if you have a scale of 0 to 10, and you buy a DLP, you might go from a 0 to a 5, but then it's gonna take a lot of work to go from a 5 to a 9.5.
Okay.
There's a lot of thought that goes into it because every situation, every architecture is unique,
right.
And you need to have a very sort of robust and fluid policy that will reflect that. You can't just turn it on, snap your fingers and make it work.
Right.
So that's a piece of it, trying to do that efficiently and from our standpoint as a company, building out our onboarding, to help out with that as much as we can.
Yeah.
For teams that don't necessarily have as many resources as some other industries.
That's the thing that he hit the nail on the head there, because there's a lot of credit unions out there, and I've talked about this a number of times actually here. The smaller ones are resource challenged,
so to speak. So they
need outside people coming in and helping them, because as we all know, especially in the security business, the bad folks are going to the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, those smaller credit unions are that entryway to that path. So
they need some
help. So good stuff.
Yeah.
Anything else to add?
No, that's it. Thanks for the interview.
All right, Chris. Yeah, anytime, man. Well done. Yeah. Well done, and keep up the good work there at Kasosis.
Yeah, appreciate it.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.